The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 23. And our text for this evening is that verse 11. Another great night scene, this time in the life of Paul the Apostle. For there we read in verse 11, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." He is in a castle, but he's not being entertained by kings or princes. He is in a castle, but there are no food-laden tables, no golden cups filled with new wine. There's no laughter, there's no singing, there's no merriment. He is in a castle, but there are no servants, just soldiers. No jesters, just jailers. No dancing, just darkness. And for one man in that castle, it was a darkness that had invaded his very thoughts. For this one was Paul the Apostle. And for Paul, that night in that castle, which for him was a prison, it was one of the darkest nights that the Apostle Paul ever experienced, either before or following this particular night. For as we said, that castle was a prison. And he'd been taken there by the chief captain because there were those who had set upon him, and their intention was to lynch him, their intention was to kill him. We read that in verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces, of them commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. It was a dark night indeed for Paul. It was a dark night because of what happened the day before. It was a dark night because of what his enemies had planned for him the next day. We've just read that there were those who made a vow that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. And so you can see just how dark that night was. Because of what had been on the yesterday and what was prepared for him on the morrow. It was a dark night indeed for the Apostle Paul. As he thought about his mission to Jerusalem to preach the gospel, it had met with more opposition than with acceptance. I believe that Paul, being the preacher that he was, would have spent that night in that prison reflecting upon the days that he had spent in Jerusalem. And I feel that Paul would have looked upon those days as days of failure. Because really there was nothing much accomplished. Such was the opposition to Paul's ministry. I'm sure Paul felt that his ministry there was a failure. And I can tell you that that is a dark night indeed. When a preacher of the gospel, because of lack of success, feels that his ministry has been a failure. It was a dark night indeed, but then suddenly the darkness and the gloom was lifted. Because Paul was in that castle that was his prison. And that night in that castle, the apostle Paul met with the king. He wasn't the king of that castle, but he was the king of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, because into that castle came the Lord Jesus Christ. For it says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him." It's the Lord Jesus. The Lord stood by him and said unto him, "Be of good cheer, Paul." The king was in the castle. If you were to visit England, there's an Englishman here, so I better be careful what I say, and visit the town of Windsor, you'll probably, in all probability, visit Windsor Castle, the residence of Her Majesty the Queen. When she's not in Buckingham Palace, she's in Windsor Castle. You'll always know if the Queen is in residence when you visit Windsor, because the flag is flying. When you see the flag flying, you know the Queen is in residence. If it was possible for Paul, he could have put the flag up and the flagstaff in this castle. Everyone would have known the king is in residence. For King Jesus had come to visit Paul. And the king was in the castle. That darkest of all nights, the King of Glory came and stood by Paul. Said unto him, "Be of good cheer, Paul." The king had come to visit one of his loyal subjects to cheer him in his darkest hour. My friend, tonight, how often have you felt during your Christian life that you felt as though you're shut up in a prison with your problems and your cares from which you cannot find any escape. You cannot seem to find a way out of your problems and your cares and your difficulties, and all is dark and gloomy. And I'm sure in those times you can also testify that the Lord Jesus came and stood by you. Praise His name. That's what I want to speak about tonight with the Lord's help. I want to deal with the companionship of Christ. Paul experienced the companionship of Christ in that darkest of all nights. First of all, let us consider Paul and his solitude. I'm sure that there's been many times when Paul was left alone and felt his loneliness and solitude. He spoke on other occasions of being abandoned, being forsaken and left alone. Here is another one of those occasions. But for this apostle, the apostle Paul, I'm sure, there had never been a night so dark as this particular night. There was never an hour so lonely as this hour for Paul when he was left alone in the castle there at Jerusalem. Feeling that his ministry in the city was a failure. Knowing that his foes were out to kill him. Things did not look very bright. Here's Paul in a solitude, and that solitude was brought about, first of all, by the anger of his foes. For you see, almost immediately upon his arrival in the golden city of Jerusalem, he faced opposition. You go back, please, to chapter 21 of Acts. Acts 21 and verse 15. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. And we read in verse 17, "And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present." So everything looks good at the start. He's welcomed. Brethren embrace him. The elders of the church are there as well. Then look at verse 27. "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him." Look at verse 30. "And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut, and as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul." He's only been in Jerusalem 7 days. And already they despise him. Already they've laid hands upon him. Already they have commenced beating him. Look at chapter 22 and verse 22. "And they gave him audience unto this word. And then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." And that was followed by an appearance before the Sanhedrin. These were supposed to be religious men. We find these religious men were no different from the others, from the rabble of the city. For we read in verse 10 of chapter 23, "And when there arose great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle." He was in the middle of a lynch mob. There's the anger of his foes. And there is Paul. He's lying now in prison, and it seems as though the whole world is against him. For there's not one voice raised in support of Paul. Not one. No elder. No church member. No friend was there to stand up for Paul. Nobody. But Christ. For we read the night following, the Lord stood by him. Believer, have you ever felt this loneliness and this solitude that comes with seeking to be faithful to the Lord? Have you sought to take your stand for the Lord there in the office? Everybody knows you're a Christian, and you know they're whispering behind your back, poking fun at you. Or maybe in the factory floor. Or maybe in the home. At home, you're the only Christian there in the family. And when the opportunity arrives, they like to joke about being a Christian and make fun of you. You felt the loneliness and how difficult it is to plow that lone furrow for God. Well, you're not alone. because the Lord Jesus will stand by you. For dear hearer, tonight, if hell is against you, heaven is for you. If the world seems to be against you, you can be sure of this, Christ is for you. And in your hours of darkness, If you look around with the eye of faith, you'll see Him there. He'll be there. You'll see Christ standing beside you, standing somewhere in the shadows. You'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows of the darkness, you'll find Him and let me tell you this, you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. You'll find Him there. He'll be there right beside you, as He was beside Paul, and the night following, the Lord stood by Paul. It was a lonely night for Paul because of the anger of his foes and because of the absence of his friends. Where were all his friends? Where were the elders of the church? Those who had greeted him upon his arrival at Jerusalem. We read those words there in chapter 21. In verses 17 and 18, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And Paul reported how the gospel had come to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles had embraced the gospel and embraced Jesus Christ. And there was great rejoicing. But where were the elders now? Where were the members of the congregation in Jerusalem now? Where were his brethren? There wasn't one of them to be found. Paul's alone. You recall when Peter was imprisoned. The church rallied around him. And we read in Acts 12, verse 5, and prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That's what God's people tend to do when there's some of their brethren in trouble, especially the servants of God. They rally round him. And maybe they'll have special seasons of prayer for him, as the church did for Peter. But there's no mention of prayer meetings being held for Paul. And how lonely is that man? And how lonely is that Christian and that servant of God who in his hour of need doesn't have anybody to pray for him? It was a lonely road that Paul was walking, scattering the seeds of the gospel as he went, but no one to support him in prayer. It was a lonely road that Paul walked as he wrestled against principalities and powers, but there was nobody to pray for him. It was a lonely road that Paul walked, a road that led Paul into the middle of a lynch mob, but there was nobody to pray for him. It was a lonely road that Paul walked, a road that led him into prison and into chains and into bonds, and there was nobody to pray for. It was that night when not one voice was lifted to God on behalf of Paul. was that night that Jesus stood by him. It was that night when not one friend, not one elder, not one church member came to visit him. It was that night that Jesus visited him. It was that night that Jesus stood by him. And dear believer, tonight, it is indeed a lonely existence when in your service for the Lord, there's nobody to pray for you. That's why our missionaries send home the prayer letters. Every one of them, alas, pray for us. They're depending on our prayers. Where would many of us be if we didn't have the Lord to stand beside us? Where would many of God's servants be if they didn't have the Lord standing by them? And nobody was praying. That's a lonely existence indeed. There's nothing comforts the child of God, the servant of the Lord, more than to know God's people are praying for him. Believer, learn from Paul's experience. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for your ministers. Pray for the servants of God. No wonder Paul again and again, in his letters and his epistles as he sent them out to the church, was, pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Brethren, pray for us again and again and again. He wanted people to pray for him. But on that night, when he was in prison, there wasn't a prayer meeting. Not one voice was raised on Paul's behalf. Not one visitor. But the Lord hadn't forgotten Paul. And I do love those words. And the night following, the Lord stood by him. Paul felt the solitude of that night and the loneliness because of the anger of his foes and the absence of his friends. And the effects of his witness or his faithfulness. That's why he was there. Paul's suffering and solitude were related to his faithfulness to God. A faithfulness where he was prepared to go through with God, counting not the cost. That's why we chose that hymn this evening by Noel Grant. Go through with God, thy vows to pay. Thine all upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and give to you God's very best. Paul was prepared to go through with God. For you see, there were those who tried to dissuade him from going up to Jerusalem. The Spirit of God had revealed to them what dangers lay in store for Paul. You look there in Acts 21, verse 11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, that Agabus. He took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart?" They were in love with Paul. They loved this man of God. And there they were beseeching him, pleading with him, with tears in their eyes, not to go up to Jerusalem. What did Paul say? Paul answered, verse 13, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Dear child of God, that's all Paul was interested in, doing the will of God. Paul was aware of what lay before him. He knew what would happen to him at Jerusalem, but he said, "I must go. Even if I die there, I must go to Jerusalem. I must bring the message of the gospel." You notice, they all tried to dissuade him, but there wasn't too many wanted to go with him. They said, "Paul, they're going to arrest you, and they will beat you, and they will kill you in Jerusalem." Wasn't too many of Paul's company wanted to go through with God with him. But Paul was prepared to go through with God, counting not the cost. But this reminds me so much of the Savior. Christ knew what was before him. Christ knew all about the many things he must suffer at Jerusalem. He could see it all as he knelt there in Gethsemane. And he began to agonize in prayer. And great drops of blood falling from his face. As he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he prayed, "Lord, if it's thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And the Lord Jesus went all the way. And as he said prophetically in Isaiah 63 and verse 3, "And of the people there was none with me." But Christ went there. You could say he went through with God. Believer, are we prepared to go through with God? Or would we rather take the soft path to heaven? Be carried to the skies on the flowery bed of ease. Are we prepared to go through with God? Laying all on the altar. See me all on the altar lay. My life, my all, this very day. O God, crown the sacrifice now, I pray. Send the fire into my soul, that I am ready and willing and prepared to go through with God. His company said to him, when they could not dissuade him from going, they said, "The Lord's will be done." That's all Paul was interested in, doing the will of God. As doing the will of God made you foes and enemies? Cost you friends? Have you at times felt this loneliness because you've sought to obey the Lord? Well, let me say this. What does it matter? What does it matter if you've lost friends and even members of your family? What does it matter when you have Jesus Christ, the friend who sticketh closer than a brother, to have Christ standing with you? Paul lost many friends. Even when he wrote that last letter to Timothy, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand. The time of my sacrifice," the word means, "is at hand. I'm ready to depart." And what did he say in that last letter to Timothy? He said, "Only Luke is with me." He had lost friends, companions, fellow laborers. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. But Paul had the Lord with him. That friend who sticketh closer than a brother. You can depend on him to stand by you. You're Paul in his solitude, and you're Paul in his city. Prison alone. Yet he was not alone, for we read, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul." Here you have the companionship of his Savior. You look at the companionship of Christ with relation to Paul, and you will find that the Lord was steadfast. We've mentioned the elders and the brethren, the folk at the church at Jerusalem, how they greeted him when he arrived. But they were nowhere to be seen when controversy came and contention. With nobody there to stand by him in the heat of the battle. In many ways, they could be described as fair-weather friends. Friends that are with you when all's going well. And when it comes to battling for the Lord and holding high the blood-stained banner of the cross, those friends can disappear very quickly. But there'll always be one friend who will stand by you. And that one friend is Christ. He'll never be described as a fair-weather friend. He'll never be described as one who will be with you in the sunshine of prosperity, but will forsake you during that night of persecution and trial and trouble. He'll be with you at all times. "Lo, I am with you always, 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 in sorrow, in suffering, in solitude, in loneliness. Jesus will be there." He'll always be there. He's a steadfast friend. Paul experienced many dark and dreadful nights. But the Lord was always there. In Acts 18, in verse 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." The Lord appeared to Paul at night again. There's his friend. He says, I'll be with you. There's a steadfast friend with him again. Look there at Acts 22 and verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, saw him, that's the Lord, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. The Lord's with him again. He appears unto him again. He's with him at the time of great opposition. Look at Acts 27. Paul is about to be shipwrecked with all those with him on that ship. And we read in Acts 27 and verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. And there stood by me this night the angel of God. Stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. It's with him again. Makes his presence known. He's a steadfast friend. Blessed name. Do you know him tonight? Have you proven his friendship, his companionship? He's promised to be with us to the end of the age. And who can remember those words of Paul in Second Timothy 4, verses 16 and 17? Only Lucas with me. At my first answer or defense, all men forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. What a friend we have in Jesus. Nobody like him. Notice that not only did the Lord prove his steadfastness, but also his support. For I like the way that the Holy Ghost has recorded this appearance of Christ there in that prison. We read, and the night following, the Lord stood by him. Slightly different from the Lord standing with him. But the Lord stood by him. From time to time we read about individuals getting themselves into trouble and they're brought before the court. They've done something wrong. They've been accused of some wrongdoing. And they go through a trial and you have pictures of them arriving at court holding the hand of the wife. And she's interviewed afterwards and she says, I'm going to stand by my husband. I'm standing by him. And by saying that, she's saying, I'm supporting my husband. Whatever has happened, whatever he's accused of, I'm standing by him. Now, Paul wasn't accused of doing anything wrong other than preaching the gospel. But here we have the Lord standing by Paul. In other words, the Lord is there to support Paul. Weren't too many others supporting him. But the Lord was prepared to give Paul his support, standing by him. And believer, when your cause is right and just and pure and holy, you can depend on Jesus Christ standing by you. He always will. The night following, the Lord stood by him. You have also there not only his companionship but his comfort. Not only was Paul comforted that night by the presence of the Savior, but he was comforted by the precepts of the Savior. For the Lord said to Paul, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. How many times have we been comforted by a word from the Lord? When the night is dark and things seem to be against us, we turn to the Scriptures, or we open Spurgeon's checkbook of the Bank of Faith, or we read some other daily reading, and there it is. There it is. It's almost as if our name is put beside it, because it's a word for us. This was a word for Paul. A word in season. A word from the Lord. It's a precept of the Savior. This word had to do with his personal Savior. You notice again how it is put, be of good cheer, Paul. Be of good cheer, Paul. Doesn't just say, be of good cheer. Paul's name is included in the word of the Lord to the apostle. In other words, that tells me that Christ knew all about Paul. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And he calls every one of his sheep by name. He's intimate with every one of us. He knows all about us. There's nothing hidden from his gaze. Our troubles, the pain that we suffer at times within the heart and in the mind that nobody else knows about, Christ knows. Knows us personally. Now the Lord said to Paul, be of good cheer, or be of good courage. I discovered something. That little phrase, be of good cheer, or be of good courage, spoken by no one else but the Lord. And I discovered something else, that little phrase is found 5 times in the New Testament. Be of good cheer. And always coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus. To the man sick of the palsy, the Lord said, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Matthew 9:3. To the woman with the issue of blood, the Lord said in Matthew 9:22, daughter, be of good comfort or cheer. Thy faith has made thee whole. To the disciples in the storm, the Lord came to them walking on the sea, and he said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Once again to the disciples in John 16:33, the Lord said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And once again here, 5 times, 5 is the number of grace. And the Lord brought comfort to Paul that night by his grace. You think of those words, be of good cheer. What had Paul to be cheerful about? There were people outside that prison ready to kill him. What was it that would have given Paul cheer? Christ. Christ was the reason for his cheer. Isn't that what the Lord said to the disciples in the storm? Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. That's what gave the woman cheer. That's what gives the man sick of the palsy cheer. And the disciples again. It was the Lord himself. It is the Lord who cheers us. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By his presence, all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. I'll finish with this. The commendation of the Savior. The Lord said in verse 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Paul would have looked upon his ministry at Jerusalem as a failure. But the Lord said, Paul, thou hast testified of me at Jerusalem. The Lord didn't see it as a failure. The Lord commended him. No matter what his enemy said about him, all Paul would have been interested in what the Lord said about him. And the Lord said, you testified of me at Jerusalem. He commends the great apostle. You know, believer, that's all we should be interested in too. Receiving the commendation of God, the well done of God. The Lord stood by him that night. Paul in the solitude, Paul in the Savior, and Paul in the service. And they thought he was a failure at Jerusalem, but the Lord said, thou hast testified of me, so must I bear witness also at Rome. There's more work to do, Paul. Christ didn't regard Paul as a failure. And when we have our ministry and serve the Lord, we don't see the fruit we'd like to see. The devil comes in as quick as a flash. You're a failure. But if we've been faithful to the Lord and preached the gospel and preached the whole counsel of God, all that we're interested in is well done, my good and faithful servant. Not well done, my good and successful servant. My good and faithful. May we rejoice in the companionship of Christ, knowing that He'll be with us always. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and eternal God, we bless Thee again for the person of Christ. We thank Thee for His loyalty. Thank Thee for His faithfulness, His steadfastness. O Lord, all who know Him, may we rejoice in Him tonight. May we rejoice in Christ our Savior, knowing that He'll never leave us, never. Never leave us, nor forsake us. He who was forsaken of God and afflicted because of us, will never leave us. O Lord, may we rejoice in Christ our Savior as we leave the house of the Lord tonight. Be with us, Lord, as we leave this place. We ask, O God, Thou will bless all of our friends here this evening on vacation. Bless our congregation. Bless everyone here this night. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away and we see our King in all His glory. Praise His name. Amen.